Doctor, please, can you just please tell me what's happening, what you found out?
Yes. You gave us an unprecedented amount of data. It's irrefutable. We have linked sustained exposure to C8 to 6 categories of serious illness. Kidney cancer, testicular cancer, thyroid disease, preeclampsia, high cholesterol, ulcerative colitis. You did a good thing here, Mr. Bellot. You did good.
The 2019 film, Dark Waters, explores the true story of Rob Bellot, a corporate defense lawyer who, urged by a West Virginian farmer, shifts gears on his work to take on an environmental case against a large chemical company, DuPont. Mr. Bellot works tirelessly to expose DuPont's dumping of a toxic chemical and unravels an over 40-year-long cover-up of its harmful health effects. 7 years after submitting 70,000 blood samples from residents living near the DuPont factory to a scientific panel for testing, findings showed the probable link between the chemical and numerous health effects. The chemical in question? Perfluorooctanoic acid, or PFOA for short. As mentioned in the clip, it also goes by C8, named for the 8-carbon chain within the chemical structure of the compound. PFOA is just one of over 5,000 identified compounds within the chemical group PFAS, or PFAS. PFAS stands for per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. As the name suggests, common amongst all these different PFAS compounds are very strong carbon-fluorine bonds. As a result, PFAS compounds are highly stable and not prone to biodegrade, making them useful in numerous industrial and commercial products, including carpets, cleaning supplies, food packaging, furnishing, outdoor gear, clothing, nonstick cookery, firefighting foam, just to name a few. And because of its stability, PFAS has been given another name, popularized by the news media.
They're known as forever chemicals.
They call forever chemicals.
All forever chemicals.
Known as forever chemicals because they never break down.
The EPA was first notified about the risks of forever chemicals since the 1990s. And while they're still not a household name like asbestos, BPA, or lead, it has been gaining traction among scientists, health professionals, and the news media as new discoveries about PFAS contamination continue to be made. Over the last year and a half, for about 10 hours or so every week, I've been toiling away over these PFAS compounds in the lab of Dr. Li Pingfeng.
My research has been focusing on to see how in utero exposure of PFAS may impact fetal brain development and future neural behavior development, such as anxiety, depression, locomotor skills, cognitions, memory, and so forth.
So through Dr. Feng's research, I've been focusing on studying cells and rats. And while that's been pretty interesting, I do realize that I've been stuck in the dark recesses of the lab, focusing on a very narrow research question and never really going beyond to explore the broader story. The story about the people who's actually been impacted. So I decided to take a little trip. So, on a really rainy Sunday morning, I made the 35-minute drive from Duke's campus down to Pittsboro, North Carolina, specifically to see the Haw River. The Haw River is the main source of drinking water for the town of Pittsboro. So when news broke in 2017 about high levels of PFAS contamination found in the Haw River due to dumping by the chemical company's Chemours, a spinoff of DuPont, it was understandably really concerning for residents. Here's local conservationist Emily Sutton speaking to Vox Media.
The people that do know about it, they don't drink the water. There's people considering leaving because they don't feel like their water is safe.
Don't go near the water. Don't you think it's sad? What's happened to the water? Our water's going bad.
So, against the advice of some, I went towards the water. The heavy rainfall produced slippery mud that made the journey harder than usual, but sooner or later, standing on top of a colorfully graffitied concrete bridge, I was as close to the rushing water as I could get. The sound of the waves crashing into the rocks below, paired with the light surrounding fog, was peaceful. However, I couldn't help thinking about the PFAS contaminants in the water, the reason why I was here to begin with. Because of Durham's close proximity to Pittsburgh, Duke's Nicholas School of the Environment formed a study group in 2019 to examine if the PFAS contamination was affecting local residents.
Hi, my name is Kate Hoffman, and I'm a research assistant professor here at Duke.
Dr. Kate Hoffman is one of the researchers heavily involved in the project.
We asked people to participate in a study where they provided us with a sample of their drinking water. And then we also collected a sample of their blood to kind of see, first, do we see PFAS in drinking water? And then do we see that being predictive of what actually gets into their body? So is that an important source of exposure for them in that population? We got about 50, and some of them gave samples at two points in time. So we did that in the winter of 2019 and sort of the spring of 2020. So we had a lot of people who actually wanted to participate in the study. Sometimes it's really hard to get people to join a health study, but in Pittsburgh, the community was really excited to know what they were being exposed to and to think about ways they might be able to reduce that exposure.
So in my interview with Dr. Hoffman, she really emphasizes the importance for the study researchers to maintain a good relationship with the community.
We have kind of been reporting back to them at various time points along the way, and we think it's important to do that as quickly as possible. So they kind of receive pieces of information. So first they receive information about what was in the water that they were drinking. Then they've received information about what's in their blood. And over time, we kind of continue to communicate with that community about things that we think they could do to potentially reduce their exposure to PFAS.
Dr. Hoffman mentions that an important aspect of the study is to first establish that PFAS contamination is present in the area and leading to PFAS exposure in nearby residents. Once that connection is built, the researchers can examine the health effects of the PFAS exposure. However, this research is not as straightforward as it may seem. Dr. Hoffman explains.
Certainly, there are some PFAS that have been associated with various health outcomes, things like altered immune function or sort of lower immunity, things like altered hormone levels, kidney disease, changes in cholesterol. So certainly all of these outcomes have been associated with PFAS before, but I think it's just really important to remember that this is a huge class of compounds. There are thousands of PFAS. And so thinking about what each of those compounds will do to human health is really hard. So that way we have no idea all the health impacts yet. And I think we'll learn more and more about those, but we do know that some of the PFAS that we detect in drinking water in PFAS or in Pittsburgh are ones that have been linked to some of those health outcomes previously.
So as Dr. Hoffman says, one difficulty in effectively researching health outcomes of PFAS exposure is that there are so many compounds, with new ones constantly being created. In fact, the Duke PFAS study found that the water in Pittsburgh contains a mixture of at least 13 different types of PFAS compounds. And the reason new ones keep popping up is due to chemical manufacturing companies voluntarily phasing out old compounds and replacing them with new ones. That's a good thing, right? Well, yes and no. Let me explain. So the two earliest used in study PFAS compounds are PFOS and the one mentioned in the movie Dark Waters, PFOA. As more research and news emerged about the harmful effects of these two compounds in the early 2000s, U.S. chemical companies responded by voluntarily phasing them out of manufacturing. Phasing out these chemicals have dramatically reduced exposure, with one CDC finding showing that average PFOA levels in blood decreased from 30 micrograms per liter to 5 micrograms per liter between 1999 and 2018. However, what companies did following old PFAS compound phase-out is to instead begin producing new compounds. These new compounds were oftentimes pretty similar to the old ones, maybe moving around a couple of atoms or shortening the chain structure. Thus, they could give these new compounds new names and feel like the slate has been wiped clean. One example specifically in Pittsburgh is the emergence of a compound somewhat ominously named GenX. While the GenX structure is smaller than PFOS or PFOA, research has shown that it's still associated with adverse health effects. So therefore, the emergence of these new chemicals means that research and federal regulation and policy can never seem to quite catch up. And of course, this isn't just a PFAS-specific problem, but a wider systemic issue about how chemical regulation works in the United States. The U.S. government pretty much relies on companies to self-report their findings to agencies like the EPA, which means that companies can hide the truth by not performing specific tests, not reporting their critical findings, or not allowing independent researchers to investigate their chemicals under the guise of protecting business secrets. Dark Waters has shown how this corrupt process can lead to dire health consequences for many people. Well, what is the solution to this larger issue? Well, the short answer is, I don't know. That complex discourse is probably best suited for another time. Instead, I want to refocus on Pittsburgh, and specifically on the solutions towards mitigating their PFAS exposure in drinking water. One potential solution that Dr. Hoffman has been investigating is personal water filters.
There are some water filters that work exceptionally well. Those tend to be more expensive options like reverse osmosis. The research that's been done by folks at Duke suggests that any water filter is helpful as long as it's maintained properly. So even a, you know, faucet filter or a pitcher filter is going to remove some PFAS as long as you're kind of changing it out, the cartridges and the filters in those, as recommended by the manufacturer. If you don't, you can get kind of saturation of those filters with PFAS, which might mean that you actually are getting higher levels of exposure in water because they're concentrating in that filter. But if you're maintaining your pitcher or maintaining whatever filter you're using, I think that's a strategy that we think will help folks reduce their exposure to PFAS through drinking water.
And of course, the town of Pittsburgh has been working hard to limit PFAS exposure for their residents. In August of this year, Pittsburgh installed a new granular activated carbon filtration system that filters water from the Hall River into clean drinking water.
Here's Kobe Sawyer, Pittsburgh's public information officer and emergency management coordinator, to explain how it works.
It's like a giant Brita filter. So basically, our water goes through its normal treatment process. Our normal treatment process removes solids, volatile organic compounds, anything that's regulated from the water is then pumped through the filtration system. And there's tiny pellets of granular activated carbon, which I think is a really scientific word for charcoal, in the system. And the carbon actually adsorbs, AD, not absorbs, the substances. So adsorption is not, the substance is not drawn into the carbon, but it's actually, it sticks to the carbon. So the outside of the carbon pellet is surrounded by whatever substance the carbon is designed to remove. And then once it flows, you know, through that filter, it goes into our holding tanks. From our holding tanks, it's pumped to our towers, from our towers to our distribution lines, and then to our supply lines, and then into your house.
Last month, results from the water quality test showed between 95 to 99% reduction of 6 specific PFAS compounds after the installation of the new filtration system. While the filtration system came at a hefty cost of over $3 million, around a third of the town's annual operating budget, it has been a source of great relief for residents to know that their water is clean.
This project has given me a chance to explore stories so close to me and yet so untouched until now. And along the way, I've met many people who are also a part of the story in a way I never even had a chance to imagine. While the PFAS contamination story is about shady chemical companies and poor US regulation, it's also about the people who want to help. The attorneys, the animal study researchers, the environmental scientists, the engineers, the local government officials. All these people, working within their own niche and working together, whether they know it or not, to tackle a larger problem. It gives me hope. Maybe I will keep going near the water. Let's all help the